Into the Blender, episode 34. Stop messing with me. Into the Blender, episode 34. Stop messing with me. Into the Blender, episode 34. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think. You're listening to End of the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
Everybody, this is Chooch.
And this is Viv.
Welcome to the show. The big show. The gun show. Oh, you can't see the guns.
No.
Still audio only.
Yeah. Visual fail.
I thought about, though, the Quick program finally came to the G1 so we can do streaming video. I thought about, ooh, I'll turn it on while we're recording. Then it'll be like a live recording stream. And I didn't think you'd go for that.
No. On a Sunday night with no makeup and bad hair? No. Worst hair of the year? No.
I don't know. I'd say worst hair of the year.
Oh, thanks. It looked worse. Awesome.
Thanks, I mean, you know, we don't have a lot of humidity going on or anything like that. And we don't get the whole poofitude. That can happen sometimes.
Thanks, hon. I just feel just better and better.
I'm just saying.
I appreciate you saying. He loves me, people. This is love.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a compliment of sorts. The poofitude.
Yeah. So a lot's happened since we last checked in at Balticon.
That's right. The last thing that went up was the live show.
Yeah. Which, honestly, was just far too much fun.
Oh, yeah.
That whole weekend was just too much fun.
Absolutely.
And since then, M has turned 18.
And graduated high school. And moved out of the house.
He has moved in with my ex's parents, his grandparents, because he gets a greatly reduced tuition price. Mm-hmm. And because of where his grandfather works. So it's a fantastic opportunity for him.
Good news. He's going to college.
He starts in 2 weeks. So it's very exciting. And it's also heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I miss my baby. He's not here. And he's not coming back. I mean, he's coming back, but, you know, he took all of his stuff.
Yeah. Well, not all of his stuff.
Well, they never take all of their stuff. You still have stuff at your mom's house.
No, I picked up my sandals this time.
Yeah. I'm sure she could list off some stuff in her little storage area that's yours. But, yeah, he's moved out, and I miss the hell out of him. And LT is visiting his dad out of state. He'll be back at the beginning of August. I miss the hell out of him. And I miss Jay like crazy, like insanely crazy, because we just saw him.
Yeah. Yeah, we were going to, in this episode, we're going to do our condensed catch up of all the things that we were trying to catch up on.
Yeah.
And decided to more or less scrap that and talk about what's been happening the last week or so.
Yeah.
Because big events happened.
Yeah.
In the past on the show, I've talked about how my brother had been diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, he was told that it was really serious. It was really fast acting, really aggressive, and So I talked before about the surgery he had and how it looked like it was mostly clear, but then they found some more spots somewhere else, and then they were in his lungs, and they had cut those out, and then they found some more, and he had decided he didn't want to go
piece by piece.
Piece by piece, keep going back and for surgery, and he was just going to ride it out.
On his terms.
And a few weeks ago, well, a month ago, I had gotten a call from my sister that he had been to the doctor, and they had said that, you know, it's really been progressing. He had started blacking out, and that they think the blackouts were due to the medication. He was put on this permanent little morphine pump and was basically told he only had a month to live. And last week, we went out to California for his funeral.
And we knew that it was coming, obviously.
Yeah.
He's been sick for a long time.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, in the back of my mind, they said a month. But initially, they told him a year.
Right.
And that was 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So when they said a month, it didn't really...
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like with your mom, you know, they'd given different dates and deadlines. And the last deadline they gave, they said a week or something. And she was with us for a few months after that.
Well, yeah. And her last amount of time, it was on our wedding anniversary that they told us 6 months. And she only made it.
That's right.
A month and a half. No, 2.5 months after that. But there were several times where it was, you know,
less than 24 hours.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. And that's so
what I was thinking of.
You just really don't know. And I think it really has more to do with the person being ready to let go.
Yeah. And it's funny, I'm talking to my brother probably 2 months ago, they had officially called in the hospice services. So he was having a nurse come in a couple times a week. And they had like a safe for the different drugs and stuff, the morphine and all that. And he was talking about how the nurse had come in and said, you know, all right, we're going to put you at this dosage. And then you take this one shot if you're in a lot of pain. And he had told the nurse, well, yeah, but isn't this bad? I mean, morphine's really addictive, right? They just kind of laughed at him.
They're yeah.
Like, yeah. Do it up.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about addiction. Kind of like with my mom, and I'm sorry to go back to her again. We're talking about Jamie, but how do you flip that switch of how do you stop thinking about later?
Right.
And it was really hard for her. So it's easy to see how someone is positive and forward thinking as Jamie was to say, oh, no, you can't do too many drugs. Right. I don't want to be addicted to drugs on top of everything else. Well, I've had to have that conversation with my mom.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about addiction. It's not an issue for you anymore. Yeah. So
it's all about just being comfortable.
Exactly.
And not being in pain.
Exactly.
So last month when he started having the blackouts, he had to give up riding.
Yeah.
He's, you know, been really into dirt biking the last several years. And I had mentioned before how, you know, he had essentially, when they decided it was terminal and he had what, a year to go, and he had decided he was retiring, he was starting to pull off of his Social Security. They took his son out of school so that he could dedicate full time to training to become a professional dirt bike.
Training his son to be professional. Right.
Professional MX rider. And so he was teaching his son everything about, you know, how to work on the bikes and fix it. His son was working with a physical trainer and then
a nutritionist,
a riding coach, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 2 years he rode in the nationals and has been just doing phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so in May, Jamie had his final ride. Since he was having these blackouts, he didn't want to keep riding because if he was in the middle of a race and had a blackout, he could really hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she couldn't drive a car anymore mm-hmm. because of the same reasons. And so they had a big day with a whole bunch of friends and went out and did his final ride. And there were some frustrations with that. He had some bike problems at one point, but got it going. Mm-hmm. And the last race, he actually had a blackout in the middle of it. He had to stop. He stopped and pulled over and waited till everybody else finished. And then he finished out his last lap and had a lot of, you know, everybody calls it the bucket list, the final thing. What are the things you want to do before you pass away? And he checked everything off.
Yeah.
Had a big fishing trip to Big Bear.
Finished a CD.
He finished the recording, a music CD. Just did everything. And so he passed away 4 days before Father's Day. We flew out.
We could go Friday.
Which is bittersweet. It's always difficult. Even though you know things are going to happen, you know, it's still always a shock. It's bittersweet in the fact that we got to see a lot of my family. Obviously not under the best circumstances. It was the first time, and who knows if it'll happen again, that I actually got to spend the day with my son Jay and also have dinner with my father on Father's Day.
On Father's Day. Because it had never happened before since yeah. Jay was born. And you said that you thought that you had the first two Father's Day with Jay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you didn't think you'd had any since then.
Yeah.
And how long ago do you think it was since you saw your father on Father's Day?
Decades. Forever. Long, 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 long time. It's always just, you know, a phone call. So that was pretty great.
We got to see Jay every day.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, that's right.
We
got there
Friday. We didn't see him that day because we screwed up the airline stuff, which we won't go into, but we missed our flight.
Yes.
So instead of getting there at 10 in the morning, we got there at 7 at night, yeah. 8 at night. It was our fault.
Lost a day.
Yeah, but...
It was mostly our fault. It was partially our fault.
It was partly JetBlue's fault, and it was partly our fault, but the end result was nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Move on. And if you're going to be trapped in multiple airports with anybody, I highly recommend Chooch because he's an awesome travel companion. But yeah, except for Friday, we got in Friday evening, and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, yeah. we got to see Jay.
Yeah.
Father's Day was yeah. the big deal. I was so praying for that one.
We got to do some more firsts. He had never gone to the batting cages, so we took him for the first time yeah. to do batting cages.
Yeah.
And he did phenomenally well.
Yeah, he did.
That was quite a day. I mean, we had breakfast, we did batting cages, we did the go-karts.
Mm-hmm. Miniature golf.
We did a round of miniature golf.
Arcade.
Right, the arcade mm-hmm. with the tickets, machines, and all that. And then we had to drop Jay off. And then we did a multi-mile walk along the beach.
Mm-hmm. We got our toes in the ocean.
Then we drove inland, stopped off at a hotel, took a swim, dinner with Dad and the family.
Yeah. Well, your dad, your stepmom, your mom, your sister, her daughter, and granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. Some cousins.
I mean, it was fantastic to see
everybody. Quite a full day.
It was. It was really, really full. And you guys have to understand that his family, you know, we've talked before about how they do the blended family thing because... Mm-hmm. Chooch's parents are divorced. They divorced yeah. when he was like 9 or 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And later his dad remarried And your mom dated, but she never remarried.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they've always, when we've been up there and gathered together, you know, your dad and his wife would come down and your mom would be there for family get together, whether it was for a wedding or whether it was for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hug, they talk. We've got, I was going through pictures earlier today and there's pictures of your mom holding your niece's youngest as an infant mm-hmm. when he was 2 months old. And that your mom and dad are just sitting there talking like, you know, no big deal. We're just sitting here talking. And I've always really respected and appreciated how they come together for you guys. And I've said mm-hmm. before that I wish that I could magically make all that happen. But I realize that there's more years, you know, what do they say?
Yeah.
Water under the bridge. There's a lot more of that than what, you know, I have with my situation or whatever. But it was, again, you know, even with the stress of the situation, they did. They came together, and it yeah. was just, they came together to grieve their son and to enjoy the time with the family that had gathered as much as possible. And my God, we laughed. We laughed and told stories about Jamie, and I earned some doozies. And, and yeah. you know, my God, what does that say about your family to be able to come together for him like that?
Mm. Well, the services and everything were just phenomenal.
Yeah, we got up.
So many people.
We got up Monday morning, and we'd stayed at a hotel closer to where the services were going to be held, where Jamie's house, his wife and son mm-hmm. live, and their community. And we got there for the services, and what I loved about it was that it seemed to be, you had Jamie's, you know, family growing up, you guys and family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had his family, you know, his wife and son and their church community, which is really strong, and their mm-hmm. local friends. And there were musicians that he had played with when he was a teenager that were there.
Yeah.
And there were people from the dirt bike community yeah. that were there, and there were friends of his son that were there, and friends of his, there was just this huge community of people. And because Jamie had so many interests and loves in his life
yeah.
to see, and I'm not going to say all of them represented, but all of these facets of yeah. him was just all you could ever hope for someone that you yeah. love. You know what I mean? It was, the place was packed and there was so much love in the room for him.
He's just one of those people that, I mean, he was so outgoing and friendly that would instantly start up a conversation with anybody.
And really interested in what they had to say.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't help but smile when you were around him.
Yeah.
yeah. And that really came out with
yeah.
all the people that were there.
You could see how he brought that out in other people. Everybody was just reaching out for each other. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, are you one of the family members? I was so-and-so. I've known him since such and such. And just really reaching out to comfort everybody else. Everybody was trying to comfort each other.
Yeah.
Which I think was something that Jamie would wholly endorse.
yeah. So unfortunately, our oldest sibling wasn't able to come out. She has, I can never pronounce it right.
Fibromyalgia. Or fibromyalgia. I've heard it pronounced different yeah. ways. So
so she literally could not sit on an airplane or endure the multi-hour car ride to get to the airport to sit on an airplane or any of the other things that go with the travel. She lives in Illinois and
she just physically can't do it.
Yeah, she wasn't able to make it out, but I had taken our portable recorder and got permission from Jamie's wife and from the bishop and everybody to bring it into the services to record the eulogy and record all the services so I could send it back to my sister so she'd have something.
Yeah. You know?
It didn't feel right to do like
video
or something like that, but being able to hear the hymnals and the music and
yeah.
the orations and everything.
Well, and your sister.
Yeah. Yeah, my...
gave the eulogy and...
Oh. Our other sister gave the eulogy.
And then Jamie's mother-in-law spoke mm-hmm. and it was... Yeah, he was very loved.
Yeah.
Is very loved.
Yeah.
And it was... I mean, it was... It was really hard, you know, because I was trying to keep an eye on your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were in the one room and you were up with her at the front, mm-hmm. I was behind you guys the whole time. And it wasn't until I realized that she might be wanting her purse that I actually went up to let her know, by the way, I have your purse. Don't worry about it. But, you know, watching her and loving him, I didn't know him that well. I think I'd met him 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely adored him and what he inspired in people, but didn't know him myself.
Mm-hmm.
And being afraid to relate with you on that level and losing a sibling, but not being able to help myself watching your mom grieve one of her kids and her not being in the best of health anyways, I was really worried. And when you said what she told you, she didn't want to go, she didn't want to go, she didn't want to go. Go ahead and
tell her. Well, when we were, in the morning, we were at the viewing. And we, you know, were sitting for a while and contemplating things, and so I was sitting with her, and she had mentioned that morning getting up and getting ready, and she just kept saying she didn't want to go, she wasn't ready, she didn't want to go, but pushing herself to go. And after we had been sitting in the room with them for a while, she had told me that, basically said, you know, now it's okay. You know, now we're here, and now it's okay.
You know what she told your sister later after the services? They were talking about him continuing his work in heaven, and how he wanted to find people that had gone before him and, you know, speak to them about their religious beliefs. Ministry work, I think, is what they called it.
Yeah.
And, which I was amazed by. It never occurred to me that you would, and I told you this, that in my mind, when you pass, you're like a snapshot. Your soul is your soul. You are who you are. Your beliefs are what you believe. You're just pure love and energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of stripped down version of what I believe, by the way. But the concept that you could go and talk to people and try to reach them on a religious level, on a profound level, and minister to them, you know,
right,
give your testimony and all that, had never occurred to me. So I was kind of like in awe of that concept. But apparently when your mom heard that, my understanding based on what the sister that was there said, was that when she heard parts of that, it was like, wait, he's not here. That's not him over there.
Right.
He's free. He's not, that's not him. It's okay. Because he's not here anymore. And it's kind of like that same realization. He's not in pain anymore. He doesn't need that morphine button anymore.
Right.
He's not in, there's no sadness. And I even told your mom, I said, you know, I used to reach for the phone to call my mom to tell her something. And of course I couldn't call her anymore.
Right.
But I didn't need to call her. She, as soon as I thought something, she knew it. She knew it was in my heart. She knew what I was thinking. She's pure love and energy. So I don't need to tell her anything. She already knows what's in my heart. And it just, I was so, I mean, it was so painful. You could see it for her and for your dad and for everybody. But to hear her verbalize that she was glad she went, because it actually helped her realize, you know, when the viewing, it was open, and when they went to close it, with a special prayer. I wanted to go up and go to her because the look on her face. But your sister was there, and you know there were other people there to comfort her. But to know that after that moment that she said, "Oh, right.
Right.
He's not here anymore. It's okay to close that. It's okay. That's not him. He's already off on another adventure." You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was so grateful to hear that because I was really worried about her.
Yeah.
Not that she's still not going through stuff, because I know she is.
Yeah. And I talked to my mom and my dad throughout, you know, the days before that and that day after, how that's not the way it's supposed to be, you know.
Yeah.
That your kids aren't supposed to go first.
No. No. 49. He's a baby.
Yeah.
So, well, remarkably, when you got the news and you and I talked, and after some time had passed, you actually tweeted that.
Yeah.
And we had a pretty remarkable thing happen as a result of that.
Yeah, I mentioned, you know, well, it happened. Brother finally passed, and now we're going to have to... We got to get out to the other coast somehow and be there for the services. And one of our friends, created a collection site and posted the address to take donations for us, which just blew me away.
Yeah. And I was out running errands, getting ready for the trip. I had some last minute stuff. We weren't prepared to jump on a plane and be gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was right after Em graduated and right before the boys were going with their dad. And there was all this other stuff going on and getting the dog ready. And I mean, just, there was so much. And so I was out running errands, and I'd seen people tweeting and retweeting, you know, people going through a tough time, help if you can. And I didn't even, I felt so bad. I didn't even click on the link because I knew we didn't have a penny to donate. I thought, oh gosh, somebody's having something go on. I can't read it. I just don't. And I was about to retweet it to see if anybody that follows me would donate. And I didn't even click on it. And I was about to retweet it, and I couldn't do it from the phone while I was out and about. So I was going to do it when I got home. And I'm really glad that I checked the link first because it was a donation site for us.
Right.
I felt so bad that I couldn't donate anything. I thought the guilt will kill me if I read some terrible sob story and I then still can't donate. But we had just paid a sick amount of money for our airline tickets.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, you got to pay for gas and food and stuff like that while you're there. And we knew we were going to have Jay for a little while, so we knew we'd had to try and make the most of our time out there, since it's pretty clear we're not going to make it out there again this year unless... you know, we're able to go out as Christmas or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, our friends, actually, two of our greatest and most amazing best friends actually called to offer to loan us the money for the flight. And it was like, no, I think we'll be okay. We'll find the money. It's okay. Don't want to borrow. And for the amount of money it was.
Say we really can't get around things, we'll call you.
Yeah.
We'll be okay.
But I lost great friendships for a third of what they were offering to loan us to help us out. There's no way I wanted to mix money in with our friendship with them, because the friendship is just too precious. If mm-hmm. I had to miss a car payment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we finally said, you know, like you said, if we get in dire straits, then we'll call you and, you know, we'll deal with it then. Well, of course, they were the first... they ponied up this ridiculous amount of money for the donations. And it's like, remind me never to tell you no, because there's no point. And thank you. And I love you. And I'm forever indebted. You know, they did a donation, and it was just, there were so many people that just rushed in.
Yeah.
And donated for us to be able to go. And the money was fantastic to receive, to be able to go and, you know, do it and be able to eat while we're there. And
really, really helped.
and it allowed us to take Jay out and really make a special day at Knott's Berry Farm that we would not have been able to do. There was no way we could have done that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that really... Wow. I think that day was a lifesaver for us, having that last mm-hmm. day with him. And so eternally, eternally grateful for that, because it paid for that, you know, covered our hotel, and it was just amazing. But to me, as big surprise, I'm such a, you know, squishy. It was the fact that we had so many people donate, whether it was, had some people donate $5. Mm-hmm. We had people donate, you know, more than that. And I'm not going to give dollar amounts, but every donation is just like, I cannot believe. Cause if you could only afford $5, that's still, that's a lot of money. You know what I mean? Yeah. I get that, because when I first saw that tweet going around, I didn't have $5 to donate.
Yeah.
We don't even have $5 to donate to whatever's going on for these poor people. So I get how big that is, and the kind words and everything. It's just it's just really overwhelming. And honestly, I think.
Well, yeah, before that even happened, I had multiple pages to go through on my Twitter profile of at replies and direct messages, and, you know, people giving support.
Yeah. I honestly, with the chaos of the last day before we left, with the boys leaving and running around with the dog and that nightmare and then the flight, and I honestly don't think that I could have done another step if we didn't have so many people across the world. Yeah. We had people in other countries that were giving us, you know, giving you love and condolences. And every time I saw somebody reach out to you, it just bolstered me even more to be stronger for you. And just, y'all just don't know how much, you just don't know how much that means.
Yeah.
Just the littlest, you know, our thoughts are with you. Just, that's all, you know, it means so much. And to go back time and time again and see it there. I just kept saying, what did we ever do to get such an amazing support system? And I still don't know. I'm eternally grateful.
Yeah.
But
such a great group of people.
Oh my gosh. So if you think that, you know, you made a comment and we didn't see it or we didn't respond, you know, understand, please, that it's not because we didn't appreciate it. It was really crazy. And we appreciate every kind message more than you'll ever know.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it made it possible to get through everything and get there and get back and
be sane. So how are you doing, babe?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm back to work tomorrow. I had a quasi work day Friday. I worked from home. I knew that the amount of time I missed from work, I was going to have a lot of email catching up to do and that sort of thing. So my boss had cleared me to work from home on Friday. So I was able to sit on the couch and start going through and catching up on email. So tomorrow is the first, you know, full day back to work. And I get really thrown into it because he's going to be out of the office. So I'm going to be boss next week. So it's like full blown back to the office. But I'm doing pretty good. Being out there really helped a lot. Before we got out there, it was still very unreal, and that helped a lot being able to be there. And so, now we still have some, you know, low moments here and there, but overall, doing well.
Well, you are loved, honey. That's for damn sure.
I saw that.
Friends and family and
just
an outpouring.
Yeah. Yep, really saw that.
And you've been working on the audio. You got that together for your sister.
Yep. I still need to burn the CD to mail out to her. But I'd asked if she wanted to wait for that. I didn't know, you know, how she wanted to go through this stuff. So I said, well, I'm going to send it all on CD, but if you want, I can post it all to a private place online that you can get to. And she said she wanted both. So I put a page together with all the materials that she could get to and sent that to her yesterday. And then got to actually burn and mail the CDs out.
You're going to link that to the rest of the family though, right? What are you going to do about that?
I don't know.
Maybe email them and ask them what they want.
Yeah.
Do you want this? Do you want me to hold on to it for you?
Right.
Do you want me to send it? You know, see what they're feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure if anybody was going to want to see or hear any of it again.
Well, not right now, most likely. Your sister that gave the eulogy may want to hear it sooner than anyone else because she was giving
afterwards
it.
Afterwards, she said she doesn't even know what she said. I just read through the paper. I don't know what I said.
Yeah. You played a mean trick on her. In typical Chooch fashion. They have to zing each other, you guys. It's one of those things. You got to laugh to get through things sometimes.
Well, you got through all the words in the right order. It all made sense and only dropped one F-bomb. And she looked up horrified. No. No.
No,
you
didn't. She did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And you just had to mess with her because she would have messed with you.
Oh, she was so worried about it.
Yeah. She needed to laugh. That's for sure. That's us in a nutshell. We're in a silent house because the boys are all gone.
Very silent house.
With all the recent awesome with Jay, we miss him more excruciatingly than ever. Didn't want to come back to our empty house. So I told Chooch that if we missed the flight again, I was just going to stay at the airport. That's a sign. We're meant to be there.
That's it. Not going back.
No. So, but we're home. We're getting settled into the routine of things again. And
yeah.
Kaylee's awesome and full of life and keeps us moving. And yeah.
That's about it. We should probably get to bed.
Yeah, work tomorrow.
Start the week.
We're hoping to be on a more regular schedule. Ha 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 ha. Every time we say that, we jinx ourselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're getting this up as quick as we can, and hopefully we'll be back to our every 2 weeks. You guys, I know, understand why we had the delay.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate your patience in keeping us in your feed.
Yeah.
So if you want to give us a call, leave us a voicemail. It's 413-669-4720 to leave us a voicemail. Or you can send us an email to intotheblender@gmail.com. And you can leave a comment on the site at intotheblender.com. I do want to mention, we did not mention the donation site because we're asking for donations. Please don't take that as any sort of donate to us thing.
Oh, yeah.
We are just mentioning it as a thank you, as an appreciation thing.
Absolutely.
We are not asking for donations.
Yeah.
So.
Just want to acknowledge how much it helped them. How much we were blown away by.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Easily. Yeah. Blown away. So, with that said.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care and see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.
Rachel.
Sally.